shut up, mama. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. What's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I'm your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. Today's show is brought to you by our sister, Dee Tudman. She wants to send a message. She says before she retires, she wants to meet the goal for Michael Khalid Logan's GoFundMe. Baby Michael Khalid's life was tragically cut short. His father, our brother Ogun Spirit, they're trying to sue the hospital for gross negligence. So you can donate to their GoFundMe. Look up GoFundMe and type in Michael Khalid Logan. Thank you for your kindness. And that's on behalf of our sister Dee Tudman, ladies and gentlemen. But look, we're here. We're going to chop up some heavy game on today's broadcast. We're going to step into a little Mac lessons. Then we're going to get into some social stuff. So it's going to be an action-packed broadcast tonight. I need y'all to let everybody know that we're live right now. Let me have you do me two favors. Number one, hit that like button, the like and subscribe button. Hit it at the same time. Then share this broadcast. I need y'all to get the share game popping. Share this on Facebook. Share this on Twitter, share this on your IG story, wherever you need to share it, because it's going to be a doozy. So let's take a real quick commercial break while everybody's falling on in the room. And we will be right back right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Listen up, squares. You need to get the legendary book on game, The Art of Mackin, by author Tariq King Flex Nasheed, available on Amazon right now. Can you dig it? This book has been a bestseller for 20 years, Jack. And the New York Times called it a classic. That means it's out of sight. So this book ain't for no lames who ain't trying to learn the game, jive turkeys. So if you're ready to stop slacking in your mackin', get the Art of Mackin' book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble right now, sucker. Rated PG. That stands for plenty of game, jive chumps.
Family, are you tired of going from site to site looking for children's books? Go to drbirdiebooks.com, where we already have over 100 children's ebooks. 100 children's ebooks? That's gonna cost a few hundred dollars. No, our ebooks start as low as $3.47 for a pack of 10 unique children's books. That's drbirdiebooks.com, Dr. Birdie Books.
It's tax time again, so let the experts at Clark Pro Taxes make filing your taxes easy for you. They can prepare your taxes in person or virtually in all 50 states. Just snap a picture of your documents and leave the rest up to them. Let Clark Pro Taxes prepare your personal and business taxes. Clark Pro Taxes will not stop until you get your maximum refund. Go to clarkprotaxes.com right now. Their calendars are open for the 2024 tax filing season. That's clarkprotaxes.com. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Clark Pro Taxes. Are you ready to unlock the secret to flawless, radiant skin? Then look no further than Even Melanin. It's formulated especially for melanated skin. Say goodbye to hyperpigmentation, signs of aging, acne, eczema, and other sensitivity problems. Even Melanin is your ticket to a flawless complexion, helping you even your melanin to the beautiful brown that God intended. So for your ticket to a flawless complexion, to even your melanin to the brown that you're supposed to have, go to Even Melanin. Melanin.com. That's evenmelanin.com. Check out Black Power for Kids. It's the first of its kind memory matching card learning experience for us by us. It's a great collection. It has a bunch of our black heroes and icons and greats, and you can teach your children while empowering them at the same time. It's fun, educational, and empowering. So go to blackpowerforkids.com to order your own learning experience today. That's blackpowerforkids.com.
Bro, stop playing and start spraying. Leave an op on the ground where you stand. At all costs, yeah, make sure you protect it. Old goon juice, the formula been tested. You can defend yourself. If you find that you need a little help, gotta stay ready, ain't no love in the street. Pepper spray straight to the face, make them get weak. Get it at ogoonjuice.com. If they think it, you slipping, then tell them to come get them some. If you packing this, you won't be lacking. A shot to the eye in them problems you having. Maximal strip, hit them haters on ground, so you can feel free when you out in the town. Ogoon juice, and don't forget a shirt, man. You gotta stay ready, that evil on lurk. Yeah.
Okay. You are now tuned into the legendary OG. Tariq Nasheed.
I want to apologize to all my friends.
On Tariq Radio.
Where is Tariq getting all this cash?
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, and I am Tariq Nasheed. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We're here. How y'all living, man? We are up in here, heavy, like we should be, on a Friday night. I don't like to date the broadcast, but we're here. We're in here, ladies and gentlemen, ready to chop up game. Everybody, give me a thumbs up. If my audio is good, give me a thumbs up. I got a vibe going on tonight. I'm going to get on camera early. Let me get on camera now. Because I've been having some camera difficulties. Here I am. All right? Here I am, ladies and gentlemen. I'm chopping it up in the Bat Cave, in the Mat Cave, as they say. What's going on, man? We here. All right, how's everything looking and sounding, everybody? Let me make sure my sound is great. I know I got some new equipment here, and I got some latency issues, so the voice might look like it's a little behind the video. I got to holler at my brother, Michael Wharton. Michael Wharton, hit me up later on so I can fix the latency issue that I'm having right now, because I got some new camera equipment. As y'all see, it's a nice, full HD vibe, so the ladies can soak in my effervescence. Yes, indeed. But I just got to fix the latency issues. So we're here, man. We got a lot to talk about on tonight's broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot to talk about. Well, and let's get right into it. We almost got 2,000 people. People coming on in here. So glad to have everybody come on in, ladies and gentlemen. What's up, D. Tubman? Shout out to all my moderators. Shout out to everybody. Does everything look like it's synced right? Let me know. It might be fine. If I see a little flaw, you know, I'm focusing on it and I want to fix it. So listen, let's get right to the nitty gritty. So one of the stars, and I say stars, all right, if we can say a star, of Basketball Wives, Miss Drea Michelle, who's been on Basketball Wives and some of these reality shows for a long time. There have been rumors about her pregnant by a basketball player, Jalen Green. Jalen Green plays for Houston, if I'm not mistaken, correct? If I'm not mistaken, Mr. Jalen Green plays for Houston. And let me go to some articles here so people can get an idea of what's going on. So Miss Drea Michelle, pregnant by this guy. Now Drea, and here's the controversy. There's controversy behind this. Now, Drea already has children. I know she has one child who's the same age as this guy or older, right? She has one kid. This is her. She's 39 years old. People are like, okay, damn, he's 22. All right? So a lot of people kind of feel a certain way. There's some people asking questions like, whoa, is this kind of predatory? Or there's some women popping their collar to it. You know? They said she's a 39-year-old model, reality star, entrepreneur. She made a post on International Women's Day, okay, that she's 7 months pregnant. by a 22-year-old brother. All right. So let's get into it. He plays for the Houston Rockets. All right. Excuse me. All right. Now, here's the thing. All right. Is Bernice Burgos pregnant too? Bernice is pregnant too? Now, you know, a lot of these women, here's the thing. Now, who's Brittany? I mean, who's Bernice Burgos pregnant by? Who's she pregnant by? Who is Bernice pregnant by? Allegedly. I don't know. I'm just hearing this. Somebody said she was pregnant too. And there's some people who kind of feel a certain way about it. Somebody said my volume is low. I think my volume is fine. The volume should be fine. Yeah, Bernice is a good-looking chick. I saw her on one of them reality shows, Love & Hip Hop New York, one of them. She's like 42, 43. Looks good. But who? Let me see, if because somebody just, y'all throwing out stuff. I want to make sure people ain't just on here saying stuff because, you know, I like information to be right and exact. Hold on one second. Let me see if Bernice is pregnant. Hold on one second. Hold on one second, because people be saying stuff just to be saying it. Okay. Is she pregnant? Hold on. I'm seeing something. Oh, wait, where her daughter is pregnant. Okay. I see that Bernice's daughter is pregnant, right? But not Bernice. All right. Wait, hold on. Her daughter. Okay, her daughter is pregnant from what? I don't know. Shit, I don't know. And this might be old. Okay, this is old, so I don't know. All right, so somebody might just be saying stuff. Her daughter just had a baby. Okay, so people are just saying stuff. All right. Yeah, they're messing up this. Yeah, when people say stuff, I'm like, okay, I want to be right and exact. Sometimes people, whoever said that, whoever gave some misinformation, my moderators, please block them out of here. Block them. Please block them. We don't need misinformation. We don't need misinformation. Yeah, ban that person. And also, the person who said the audio is janky, the audio is fine. But listen, Drea Michelle, Drea is a good-looking chick. A lot of people are saying, okay, she's being predatory, because a lot of these women, a lot of them are being accused of being predatory. What's the Brittany Renner? She's another one who's an older. How does Brittany Renner? How does Brittany? Because Brittany has been around the block with a couple of ballers, with a few ballers. So we see a pattern of a lot of these kind of reality chicks or social media chicks who's been around the block. They are targeting a lot of these fresh rookie dudes who's coming in the game. A lot of these brothers who are rookies, these women are getting these guys fresh out of college. You understand? Brittany is what, 35? Okay. So there's a pattern there. They're getting them fresh out of high school, fresh out of college. They're going right for the youngins. And somebody in the room said, well, men do it all the time. Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so we're going to do the men do it all the time. But that's fine. Okay. Because people like to complain and shame guys when guys who are older or mature, they get women who are in their early 20s. Guys get younger women. You know, we always get the shaming tactic. Oh, y'all niggas. Oh, these men. Y'all want somebody you can control. Oh, you don't want no grown woman pressure. See that now? Let's look at the double standard here, because the guys, you know, and I'm talking about dudes who date women who are just young. I ain't talking about underage. That's something different. Now, underage is different. But women who are of age, who are just younger, a lot of men get shamed. They try to shame the brothers for doing that. But with Drea, people are kind of popping their collar. That woman is almost 40 years old. She done got her a 22-year-old dude, same age as her son. And there's some people out here, the whole predatory thing goes out the window. It ain't too predatory no more. Right? So it's not the same. So how is it not the same? What's the deal? Huh? Got these women targeting these young players. Because here's the thing. A lot of these women, the Dreas, they didn't, and the Brittany Renners and all of that, they didn't dated a lot of dudes. They didn't been around the block. Ain't nobody wifed them. Huh? Ain't nobody wifed them. And when you done been around the block, you're almost 40. You done been around the block a few times. You done been through dudes. You understand some of the veterans, you know, you done homie hop. You done been with cats who know each other and homies. And, you know, dudes ain't really trying to wipe that. Dudes ain't really trying to wipe that up when you done been around the block, especially if you're a balling dude. So these women, when you get 39, around 40, you got to secure a bag. And people are creatures of convenience. They're creatures of how they can get in where they fit in. Let's be real. And if you can secure a bag by targeting somebody who ain't seasoned, you'll do it. So the Dreas going after the dudes who's fresh in the game, he ain't really talking to the veterans like that. You get you a young dude who don't really, you know, he's fresh, got a nice little contract going on. He ain't seasoned. You're seasoned. This woman's been around the block and she's on television, so she can kind of razzle and dazzle. So she might have a nice little car, a nice little crib. So that can razzle and dazzle a young dude fresh in the league. Understand, a young dude fresh in the league, a lot of women his age, you know, a lot of them are in college. A lot of them ain't really holding nothing. So a lot of them, you know, they're trying to get in where they fit in. All right. A lot of the girls his age, they're trying to get in where they fit in. But a lot of them ain't really holding nothing. A lot of them still stay with their mama. They still stay at home. So Drea can kind of go out here and floss a nice whip on the dude and say, hey, look, I'm on TV and whoop-de-whoop. So to the guy who don't know no better, a young dude, okay, he's a good-looking chick. She's on TV. She's rolling nice. So, hey, this might be like a low-key come-up. And she's seasoned. She knows what to do with that mouth. You're 39 years old. Ain't nobody wiped you up. So when you're 39 years old and not wiped up and you still look good, you know how to do something with that mouth. You understand? Boy, they know what to do with that mouth. So they got little tricks and things that they can do on these young guys that they ain't really used to. Oh, she's seasoned and she still has the body of the young girls. So they're going to get in where they fit in. See, I'm not really mad at her. I'm not mad at Brittany. At Drea. I'm not really mad at her. But I just want to use this as an example. Let's not do double standard shame tactics, because everybody is going to get in where they fit in. When a guy has the financial means to get shows up on by the women in their early 20s and some of the young, fine women, older women, don't shame him. He's getting in where he fits in. He has options. Brittany and the Dreas, they got options. You understand? They have options. Not mad at him, because, you know, you work hard to maintain your body. You know, you go down to Columbia, get a little nip tuck, get a little this, get a little that. You invest in yourself. I'm not mad at her. I'm not mad. Everybody should get in where they fit in. So, ladies, you're popping your collar to Drea for getting the bag secured. All right? Which is fine. So don't get mad at the 48-year-old ugly rapper. There's a lot of ugly rappers out here who's 48, 49 years old. They getting like little fine 23, 24-year-olds. So don't get mad at the ugly old rappers. You understand? Because he's getting in where he fits in too. He's letting his his money and his success dictate his choices. People are creatures of choice. And let me see, Andrea, again, good looking chick. She has children already, from what I understand. I know she has one older son. Somebody said she had, this is going to be her third child. I don't know, because I don't really keep up with a lot of those basketball shows no more. But, you know, all of my young guys out here, I would say be careful, because you don't want yourself, you don't want to become a part of a storyline. So you got to be careful. You understand? You got to be careful. But I'm not mad. But he has to be careful. My young guys out here getting in the league, a lot of these women who are seasoned, they're going to spit at you. They're going to position themselves to be in your peripheral. And that's another thing, family. Wherever you hang out, and let me give some game to the ladies here, and the men too. Let me tell you something. If you want to upgrade your choices, you got to make sure you're in the right surroundings. You understand? If you put yourself in the right surroundings, the things within that environment, they're going to gravitate towards you just through osmosis. It's going to happen. See, a lot of people, you want an upgrade with the significant others that you deal with. You want to upgrade with the people you date. You want to update and upgrade your career, but you're not putting yourself in those environments. You understand? Let me tell you something. If you want to get a job, or if you want a career in some type of corporate setting or the music industry or something like that, if you want a career in the music industry, what you do, you start interning somewhere. You go intern just so you can be around that environment. Once you're in that environment, just by you being there, some of the game is going to rub off on you because it's convenient. That's why you see a lot of people who turned out to be execs started off as interns. Puffy was an intern. There was a lot of people who started off as interns first. You understand? I want to say if Suzanne DePass was an intern. I don't know. But a lot of times, a lot of people who want to get into radio, they go intern at a radio station, work for free, go get coffee, do this and that, and then work their way up. And just being in that environment, some things are going to get thrown at you just on a humbug. You understand? You got to be in that environment. Ladies, if you want some ballers, all you got to do is be around where the ballers are and look like you belong there. All right? Look like you belong there. Ladies, hang out where the ballers hang out. But you got to have the look, though, because sometimes there's a velvet rope society there where, you know, somebody's kind of gatekeeping who has access to some of the ballers. You understand? Like certain clubs and certain parties, you got somebody at the door who's doing a big back check. If your back too big, you ain't getting in. The Dreas, even though she's almost 40, she still looks good. The back ain't big. She's maintaining. So they're going to open that velvet rope for her to go ahead and get in and get around them ballers. You got to look the part. Same thing with fellas. Fellas, let me tell you something. If you hang around fly women, you hang around some fly women, fellas, one of them women, they're going to get with you. Somebody's going to get with you. If you hang around dimes, just being around them, guys, you start hanging around some dimes. At one point, one of them dimes is going to break you off something. All you got to do is look like you're supposed to be there. That's all you got to do. And you'll get up on something by accident. You might run into one of them dimes who just broke up with her dude. She's vulnerable and she's trying to give away some coping mechanism coochie. She's trying to give some coping coochie out. And you're like, hey, nigga, I see. Hey, I'm going through something. What are you doing tonight? You know, they'll just holler at you. You never know. But just being in that situation, being in that environment, being around those people, man, that increases your chances. And just look the part. You understand? You got to look the part. Somebody said she took advantage of a kid. That's another angle. He's a grown man. He's a grown man. Shout out to that brother. Yeah. But you got a lot of young dudes in the league getting in the game. And I have a lot of friends who are athletes. A lot of them have significant others that they were with in high school and college. Those are the lasting situations. What you don't want to do is be one of these statistical niggas out here where you're an athlete and you got 5-6 baby mamas and all the kids are the same ages and all of that. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. You understand? But if you got you a baby mama who looks very good and she has somewhat of a career going on, can't get mad at it, even if she's older. Say 22 isn't a grown man. Yeah, he's grown. Yeah, he's grown. He's grown. That's why, man, if young dudes, man, you kind of need a veteran to kind of lace you with game. But again, somebody can only lace you with so much game. The game is in one ear, and this fine-ass chick who's seasoned with a crazy mouth that does all types of amazing tricks, she's looking right at you. Now, look, you 22, you're a 22-year-old dude. You understand? I can lace you with all the game imaginable, but you got this seasoned veteran woman whose body is still popping, all in your ear, telling you how fly you are and how great you played, and oh my God, you're one of the best players out there. You understand? She's running all types of game, throwing that ism in his ear. But oh, Jalen, you're so phenomenal. Jalen, you are the best player out there. Look, let me take you out. I'm a reality star. So I got my own money, Jalen. See, run that game on them. See, that's what my young guys need to watch out for. See, a lot of these women, they got a couple of dollars, and they'll throw it at dudes to throw them off. They're like, no. I'll fly you out. Don't worry about it. I don't need your money. I don't need your money. I get basketball wife checks. Oh, no. I like you for who you are. Huh? So he ain't used to that. See, Jalen is probably used to them girls his age up here begging. You know, them young girls be begging their ass off. The young girls ain't seasoned yet, so they ain't really got no game. The young girls just come out the gate begging. Hey, Jalen, can you buy me a car? Jalen, can you buy me a Nissan Altima? So he's probably used to these begging, little sack chasing 22, 23-year-olds, especially out there in Houston. He's tired of the begging 22, 23-year-olds. So you got this seasoned woman who probably dipped up in a Maserati on him. You know, she's on TV getting a few dollars by making appearances. But, oh, Jalen, I don't want your money, baby. I don't want your money, dear. Yeah? I have my own. Yeah? She's running that game on him. And then she got that seasoned mouth that a lot of them 22-year-olds don't have. When you're 39 years old, you're going to learn what to do with that damn mouth, especially if you've been around the block, especially if your body's still popping. She's going to know what to do. She's going to have some tricks. But when the women get around 39, you know, they start having signature moves. Some of these women got some little moves that they do on niggas. They got little tricks they do with their mouth. They got little things they do with their legs. They got little signature moves. Where are the 39 and 40-year-old women? Y'all know y'all got little signature moves that y'all break out on a nigga. And they got some signature moves. No, he's doing a back shot, then you throw your leg up and grab your leg from the back. And like, oh, whoa, what's... Nigga don't know what happened. Oh, Lord, what is this? Or you do something with your mouth that's different. You got throat tricks that a young cat like that might not be used to. Huh? So that she's gamed up. She done been around the block. So So yeah, dude seated her right on up and secured her bag. Look, this woman is 39 years old. You got women like this. Listen, when you got women who's like almost 40, look, Drea and people like that, that reality show money, that's not long money. You know, that, you know, you get some appearance fees here and there. You might do a little walkthrough, get $20,000, $30,000 doing a walkthrough at a couple of spots since you're on television. But that's going to dry up. So you got to get some long money going on. That little money going to dry up. The appearance fees are going to dry up. The little basketball wife money, that little money ain't really long anyway. So you get your money off appearance fees and all of that. So how do you secure the bag when you get older? You still look good. Get knocked up one more time by a baller. And here's the thing. A lot of these women, if they can't get knocked up, if they get too old to get knocked up, that's when they get around niggas and start trying to get a Me Too bag. That's what some of the older ones try to do. They'll try to get a Me Too bag. Oh, my God, he was staring at my titties. I felt uncomfortable. You know, they'll try to get some kind of employment and then get somebody to stare at their titties and then yell Me Too. You know, so there's different ways of people trying to get the bag, especially people, the women who are fine and the wall is coming or the wall just hit. They got to figure out, okay, I've been getting stuff from niggas all my life. Dudes have been breaking me off. Dude, I've been getting flued out all my life. Now I see this thing might end pretty soon or it just ended. How can I get another bag out of a nigga? You know? So they're going to either get pregnant or pull a Me Too. Yeah? So cats got to be careful out here. You got to be careful out here in the game. But again, I ain't mad at Drea. I want my brother to be careful out there. Jalen, be careful. The game is nasty. It's nasty work out here. And people don't complain and don't try to shame dudes. When dudes exercise their options, don't shame them. If you're popping your collar to Drea, pop your collar to Charlie Ray, who got him a nice 29-year-old. You understand? Everybody will get in where they fit in, but I digress. What else is going on? Speaking of older, did y'all see Mike Tyson is about to fight Jake Paul this summer? This white boy, Jake Paul, they're about to do, I guess, an exhibition bout. And that's what Jake Paul does. He does these exhibition bouts with these black fighters. Excuse me. It's going to be a big fight because people want to see Tyson. But here's the thing. These guys, they always got to fight a black fighter who's way out of the game. You understand? They got to fight black fighters who are just so far out of retirement so that, you know, they can stand somewhat of a chance. They used to do that with Jack Johnson. Jack Johnson was way out of his prime when they would try to have him fight these white fighters, because when he was in his prime, he was beating the brakes off these white fighters. When Jack Johnson was damn near 50, they had him out here fighting these white fighters, and the white fighters kind of getting the best of him when he's way out of his prime. So, you know, Mike Tyson was walking with a cane not too long ago. You understand? But it's going to be very interesting. Say Jake Paul has a no knockout contract. Look, my thing is, man, some of these things with Jake Paul and these guys, to me, man, some of these things look like they might be rigged, where the black fighters take a dive to a certain degree where they don't, Jake Paul don't get the brakes beat off of him. Yeah, I hope Mike don't take no fall, because that's what they'll do. They'll get a black fighter to take a fall for these people. Yeah, man, this thing, those things are very rigged. Those Jake Paul fights are extremely rigged. So, you know, that's what these people can do. They're desperate for any kind of win. And if they can fight a black fighter who's way out of his prime, that's good enough for them. It's an interesting dynamic. Family, did y'all see the Biden speech? Biden did an address. He addressed the nation, and you had Kamala Harris standing behind him, standing up, being a cheerleader for everything he said. And Biden tried to low-key compare us, Foundation of Black Americans, to all of these immigrant groups. He said something that I really wasn't with. I want y'all to hear this. This is where they try to compare us to all of these other immigrant groups. Hold on, where we at? Hold on, let me find that link real quick of Joe Biden talking about how all the people came over here and all of that stuff. Hold on, where's that link of Biden? Oh, here it is. All right, so this is Biden trying to make us equivalent to immigrants. All right, now listen to this. Hold on one second. Let me turn this up. Hold on. Where we at?
Only nation in the world with a heart and soul that draws from old and new. Home to Native Americans and ancestors have been here for thousands of years. Home to people of every place, from every place on earth. They came freely. Some came in chains. Some came when famine struck, like my ancestral family in Ireland. Some to flee persecution, to chase dreams that are impossible anywhere but here in America. That's America. And we all come from somewhere. But we're all American. Only nation in the world.
All right. Yeah, I got a problem with that. Yeah, we all come from somewhere. Some came in chains, some came here, and so no. This is why we don't do the African American. You see, that's why we don't do that. That's why we don't do that, ladies and gentlemen. We are Foundation of Black Americans. We actually built this country from scratch. No other group did that. No other group built this country from the ground up. That was one group of people, and that was Foundation of Black Americans. We are not comparable to any other group, ladies and gentlemen. We are not comparable to nobody. Excuse me. All of that brought on chains, and others came in this way and came that way. No. Because the brought on chains and then brought over here with the other people who were here thousands of years, the other black people. See, we're going to have to put this thing in the right perspective. We're going to have to put this thing in the correct perspective. We, as Foundation of Black Americans, are not comparable. We didn't leave somewhere to go somewhere better. We had to build better from scratch, with our boots on the ground, our feet rooted in the soil. We stayed rooted in this soil, building through persecution. See, other people escape persecution. We had to stand here and deal with the persecution and then fight back. We didn't flee. We ain't like these other people. You understand? We weren't chasing a dream. See, they came over here chasing the dream of a bunch of free resources for them. That was the dream they were chasing. We had to fight, scratch, and scrounge for every little resource we had. We didn't chase a dream. We had to make the things happen for us all day. You understand? Let's be very clear, family. We are unique as Foundation of Black Americans. And this whole thing that all of us came on boats, that's just not true. There were black people already here, black family, and we have to really reiterate that point. There were black people here. There were black people who were brought over, but they were mixed in with the black people who were here. You understand? We have to take ownership of this land. We can't let the $5 Indian sit here and act like it was them. No, it was black people here. Family, we have to understand our importance here on this land. We really got to understand our importance, family. I was on my Twitter live the other day, and there was a tether who called up, and we were debating about our Foundation of Black American History and how we, as Foundation of Black Americans, we were, when explorers were coming here, we were the ones who were the interpreters. We were the ones who were basically doing the explorations in this country, on this land. And I'm pointing out all of the explorers from Europe who had black people with them. And I want us to understand, every time you see a white explorer, a European explorer on North American land, I will point to you the black person who was the guide or the interpreter for that person. Going back up to Canada, Mateo da Costa was a black man who was an interpreter. He knew all of these languages up there. Here in North America, well, this is Canada is North America too, but the continental U.S., the black man named Esteban Nico, who was leading an expedition with the Spanish. Juan Garrido was a black man down in South of Central America as a translator, black man. But family, De Soto had a black man with him. Cortez had a black man with him. You understand? When they went to the North Pole, right, Matthew Henson. There's a black man. The first person to reach the North Pole was a black man. Matthew Henson, and he's, from what I understand, a relative of Taraji P. Henson. And Matthew Henson, this brother knew the Inuit languages. He knew the language. He knew these languages that these indigenous Eskimo people, he knew their languages. How we be knowing all these damn languages? Every time the European goes somewhere, they have to bring us as a translator, family. Listen to me. Going back to Lewis and Clark, we talked about that the other day. When Lewis and Clark were going through the Louisiana Territory and going west, they had a black man named York with them who was the interpreter and the translator. You understand? Every single time they have to have us with them. And I was debating a tether about this, and this Negro was like, well, no, nigga, there were white people who were exploring too. What about Daniel Boone, nigga? He explored Kentucky by himself. That's not true. Because I kept debunking this tether. Even Daniel Boone had a black man showing him how to get to Kentucky over the Blue Ridge Mountains. It was a black man who was enslaved named Burrell who showed Daniel Boone how to get to Kentucky. And when Daniel Boone got to Kentucky over there, there was another black maroon, a brother named Pompey, who was an interpreter who was helping him correspond with the other Native Americans over there. In fact, there was a TV show in the 1960s and early 70s called Daniel Boone where they had Rosie Grier play the maroon Pompey. You guys can Google that. Yes. Daniel Boone, yes, Daniel damn Boone. They get these white men, all these frontiersmen. Now they had black people with them. They had black people. Daniel Boone, look that up. There's a black man named Burrell who showed Daniel Boone how to get over the mountains. We were always showing them where to go. There was another explorer, William Ashley. I think that's his name. He was another person, one of these white people who started to expand out west. He had a couple of black people with him. William Ashley, he had a black man named Edward Rose with him and another black man named James Beckworth. James Beckworth was actually a famous black man. He became famous as a black frontiersman. He was one of the people who showed folks how to get to California easier. There's a place in Nevada called Beckworth's Pass where it's a low past the lowest point of the Sierra Nevada mountains, from what I understand. But he showed them an easier way to get to California, basically. James Beckwith, Foundation of Black American Man. You understand? We were cutting the path and showing people where to go and how to live. And they needed us to go into these territories. Because I want y'all to understand, the white supremacist family, they couldn't walk around the North American plains by themselves unless they were slaughtering people. The white supremacists could not walk around North America by themselves because the word had got out with all of the indigenous tribes all over the country that there are some hostile, demonic, pale-faced people out here, and you got to watch out for them, and it's going to be on sight. When you see them, scalp them, because their reputation was horrible. That's why they said there's only 5 civilized tribes. Those were the ones that they could easily marry into and get them to submit. All the other tribes, they were considered not civilized because it was on site with all of these other tribes and aboriginal groups when they saw the white supremacists. So the white supremacists, they couldn't just walk around this country freely like that. They needed us to come through with them. They needed us to not only translate for them, but also to stop them from getting killed. Because we knew all of these indigenous groups. How we know all these languages? If we came on a boat fairly recently, but we know all of these trails and we know all of these different languages. How we know all that as black people? But we came from an Igbo tribe somewhere. But we know every little nook and cranny of the North American landscape and all of these different languages we know. That means we must have been here for a long time. Yeah? Man. So we had to have been here before for a long time to know all of these places, to cut these trails and to know where to go and to know what mountain ranges to go through. You understand? So yeah, we were the translators. And also I talked about this before, when they created the mail service, the Pony Express, the original riders were black people. Number one, because we were the original cowboys because we dealt with the cattle. Number two, we knew how to ride real fast. Number three, white people couldn't ride their horses and deliver mail in these hostile territories. They would be killed. So black people were part of the Pony Express. Black people, they needed us to be the mail carriers. That's why Stagecoach Mary, the Foundation of Black American Woman, was so famous. They had to get an elderly black woman to deliver the mail. And she was very thorough. And she was cool with the Native American tribes and all of the aboriginal tribes. They weren't going to hurt her. But the white supremacists, it was on site with them. They needed us, family. When I say our importance is underestimated, yeah, Stagecoach Mary, Foundation of Black American Sister, badass sister. That sister was an elderly sister delivering mail in the West. Yeah? Powerful sister. Right, and they still do to a certain, yeah, right, somebody made a good point. They still do. Whenever there are hostages being taken outside of the U.S., who has to go get them? It's always Foundation of Black Americans going to get hostages. You understand? They got Jesse Jackson going to get hostages. You had Muhammad Ali getting hostages. He got hostages from Saddam Hussein. You had Dennis Rodman getting hostages out of North Korea. Yeah. A lot of folks don't know this stuff. You dig? The white supremacists, boy, their name is mud in many areas. Huh? Their name is mud. So they got to have us because, again, Family, we have the Mojara spirit. And they understand that. We have that spirit of Mojara. We have that Mojara spirit that ain't nothing to play with. And they know that. That's why when we walk around, we get respect. You understand? That's why when we go somewhere or when we do something, we influence the world without having to harm people. See, the white supremacists, in order for them to influence people, they got to murder everybody. They got to commit genocide. We don't have to do that. We can influence the world just by having our godlike Mojara spirit. That's a powerful thing, man. That's a powerful thing. Eh? But I want y'all to understand, these white supremacists couldn't go nowhere in this country by themselves like that. They had to go in with guns blazing, and the word got out that, hey, man, these people out here murdering folks, so when you see them, scalp them. So they had to get us to come in and walk them through so they could be safe. Yeah? Y'all start looking these names up. Look up James Beckwith. Yeah? And James Beckwith, he was the foundation of Black America. He was enslaved. He got his freedom. And then he started living with the Crow Indians. He became a chief with the Crow Indians. Huh? When I say this is our damn land, don't ever let nobody make you feel like a foreigner on your land. This is our land right here as foundational Black Americans. This is our land, ladies and gentlemen. Don't let nobody get it twisted. Yeah? So when Biden and these people say some bonehead stuff like that, no, no, no. We got to correct that narrative. And speaking of the Democrats and the Republicans, you got people like Tony Brown. Tony Brown said something very interesting. Tony Brown from Tony Brown's Journal. Tony Brown was doing a TV show. I think he started in the late 60s. And Tony Brown said something very interesting about the Democrats. Where's that Tony Brown clip? Hold on one second. There's a clip of Tony Brown. Where is it? Let me find that clip. There's a clip of Tony Brown I want to play from Tony Brown's Journal. He said this in the 80s, and it still holds true. Hold on one second. Let me find this clip. Okay, here it is. All right. Yeah, now Tony Brown said this in 1984 about the Democrats. Hold on one second. All right. All right. Let me play this. Hold on.
The Democratic Party at some point in time has to be shaken out of its racist attitudes. And it has to be, during one of these four-year periods, shown that it did not get the black vote. And because it didn't get the black vote, it didn't win the presidency. When that happens, it will change. I don't see any hope of the Republican Party embracing a black agenda at all.
Boom. Now, family, man, that was powerful. This man said this in 1984. Man, it took us almost 40 years to catch what this brother was saying in 1984. That wasn't none but facts on facts. Facts on facts. The Democrats, we got to let them crash and fail. And it has to be known it was the lack of the black vote that made it happen. Then they'll get some act right. See, this is why I'm saying withhold the damn vote. This is why I always talk about withholding the vote. That's a strategic thing. Because the Democrats are just as racist as everybody else. They're just as racist, family. So we have to say to them, if you're going to continue this racist attitude and not give us what we're supposed to get, and you're papering up all of these other groups, well, we'll let you crash and burn. We don't have to go out here and support the Republicans. We'll vote for the couch. You understand? That was Tony Brown from Tony Brown's Journal. Tony Brown's a writer. And now people are talking about now how so many rappers are supporting Trump. Excuse me. Now listen, look at this clip here. This is Torre. talking about all the rappers supporting Trump. Now, listen to this. All right. Yeah, they're complaining about the rappers supporting Trump. Hold on. Listen to this. Hold on.
Rappers supporting Trump? Not just this one. It's also Benny the Butcher.
Hold on, let me go back.
Why are so many rappers supporting Trump? Not just this one.
And he's the Democratic shield, by the way.
It's also Benny the Butcher, Sexy Red, Waka Flocka, Kodak Black. What in the Uncle Tom is going on? I think there's three main reasons why some rappers are falling for Trump. One reason is the perception of strength. This is a caricature of how Trumpers see him, as some hyper-strong, hyper-masculine figure. And I can see where some rappers would say, aligning with him makes me feel strong and seem strong.
Literally nobody is saying that. These are Democratic talking points that they're throwing down as a shaming tactic. Hold on.
Kanye said when he put on the MAGA hat, it made him feel like Superman.
Kanye be saying all types of stuff.
That's gross. Reason number two, contrarianism. Some people love to be the person who everyone else is arguing against. You love to be the one saying everyone else is wrong.
That's what the Democrats do.
And in an attention economy, being the contrarian gets you a lot of attention. I put a barbershop because, you know, the black barbershop is a place where people go to argue and talk. And
this is so trickled down from the top brass of the Democrats, this whole the barbershop, all the toxic masculinity. This is coming from the whites at the DNC.
Commune. And if you're a contrarian in that space, everyone is arguing against you. And it can be really exciting. There's also a lot of misinformation that goes into supporting Trump. A lot of Trumpers, when they're asked why they like Trump, they say things that aren't true. Alternative facts. For example, Sexy Red said she loves Trump because of the stimulus checks. I think a lot of people who are close to this story would give more credit to this woman. But the whole question about why are so many rappers supporting Trump is really meant to lead us to the question of why are so many black men supporting Trump? The percentage of black men supporting Trump nowadays is a little bit larger than we've had for Republicans in the past, but it's far from some election changing number.
There is no large enough constituency of black men supporting Donald Trump that could swing this election either.
But in the question of rappers and Trump, we also have to account for this. Modern hip hop does not really have, for the most part, the political spine that those of us who loved 80s and 90s hip hop had.
The Democratic shields don't have a political spine. Y'all get bussy privileges and tether tangibles.
In the era of Public Enemy and Tupac and KRS-One and Poor Righteous Teachers and X-Clan, we had a music that was so politically conscious, it felt like some of these rappers were activists. I don't say this to criticize the modern generation.
And remember, hold on, I got to get on camera because while he's saying this, Teray was talking greasy about Tupac. All right, so don't let him sit up here and act like he's some big time hip hop head. This man was disrespecting Tupac. All right, don't forget, some of y'all remember him? He was very disrespectful of Tupac. And Suge had to check this guy. Hold on, where we at, hold on.
And I know some rappers now are political, but the assumption that hip hop will be progressive and political as we saw so often in the 80s and 90s, that world doesn't exist really. So I'm not surprised some rappers are saying, hey, let me get some attention. I kind of like this guy Trump. But I'm sure if you polled rappers, you would find that just like most black men, most of them support Democrats.
No. No, we're good. No, no, no. But remember, this dude was very disrespectful to Tupac. Tupac couldn't stand this dude. You understand? Tupac couldn't stand him. No, don't start talking about, oh, the rappers back in the day. The rappers back in the day didn't like you, dude. Yeah? So we got to watch these cats, watch these Democratic shills and their talking points trying to shame us. It ain't about us supporting Trump. It's us not supporting the damn Democrats. That's what it's about. We're not supporting the Democrats. We'll just sit it out until y'all get your minds right. Yeah? Because things are real out here. Things are very real out here. And speaking of the Democratic shills, they got something that they got on Hulu called Black Twitter. They got some kind of documentary about a three-part docuseries called Black Twitter. Let me see if I could play a clip, and I hope I don't get a strike. This is fair use, by the way. This is fair use. This is commentary and fair use. So this is a documentary about Black Twitter, which is basically a bunch of the damn shea butter tethers who are not our representatives. Hold on one second. Hold on.
Black girls on magic.
Meet me in Temecula.
Hashtag do bronze.
People were like, where is Black Twitter?
White folks talk about Black Twitter like it's Wakanda.
All right. Up. The producer of Insecure. Okay. The Tetherfield show. Okay.
Let's go.
Oh, okay. Look at these names. Now, I guess these are all the people they're going to have in them. Now, these are all the names of the people they're going to have in them. Okay. Now, look at these names. All right. Amanda Seals. Kamau Bell. Van Lathan. Now, Van is my guy. Navan is cool. Navan is a rider. That's like the only real one they got here. Jemele Hill, April Rain, Roxanne Gay, Lovey Ajayi, the one who calls us Akatas, Kid Fury, Wesley Lowry, another tether, a tether Democrat, a Cuban tether. Let me see. Baratunde Thurston, I don't know. Jamila Lemieux, oh Lord. Half these people got me blocked because I called them out. So it's Tether Fest, basically. It's a bunch of damn tethers and shea butter feminists who's going to sit up here and act like they're the voice of foundational Black Americans. No. Hell no. These people are not our representatives. They are not Black Twitter. These are a bunch of Democratic damn shills. These are a bunch of Democratic shills who they prop up to try to act like they're our voices, and they're not. They are not, ladies and gentlemen. You see? So we got to call that stuff out. Man. So that's coming. And that's going to be a train wreck. Yeah. But anyway, let me get ready to get up out of here, ladies and gentlemen, because I've been on here for a long time chopping it up with you guys. It's been a minute. But listen, let me get up out of here. Look, go to HiddenHistoryMuseum.com. Get the children's book. This is a phenomenal children's book. Hidden Heroes from A to Z, ladies and gentlemen. Man, y'all got to get this book. Learn about people like A.G. Gadsden, one of the richest Black men in the country during the 1960s. He was funding a lot of things during the civil rights movement. Learn about our foundational Black American Maroon brother, John Horse, one of the greatest military geniuses in history, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness. We got so many people in here, man. This is a phenomenal book. Horace King. This was a bridge maker, a brother. He was a foundational Black American who was enslaved, one of the greatest architects. We have so much greatness as foundational Black Americans. Hidden Heroes from A to Z, man. Great book for your children. HiddenHistoryMuseum.com, and also make your donations to the Hidden History Museum. We got a few events we're having at the Hidden History Museum coming up. We're going to have the Coon Train Awards coming up to the Hidden History Museum. Y'all got to come through for that. And we're going to have the world premiere for the movie Microphone Check. Coon Train Awards will be in April. The Microphone Check premiere will be in May. And then June, we will be out there in D.C. We're still getting the D.C. thing together with the big rally for reparations / Juneteenth celebration. So we're going to announce all of the dates soon with that, ladies and gentlemen. But Microphone Check will be out in May. We're just going to secure the exact date, ladies and gentlemen. And Microphone Check is a monster of a film, man. Phenomenal film. Can't wait for you guys to see it. This is a game changer, ladies and gentlemen. And also, don't forget to get your RootWork deodorant at RootWorkStyle.com. This is the greatest deodorant in the country right now. This is Biloxi Blueberry, ladies and gentlemen. Phenomenal deodorant. RootWork. Everybody loves RootWork. One of the best sellers on Amazon right now. You can also get it on Amazon. RootWorkStyle.com, ladies and gentlemen. All right, family. Y'all be sure to subscribe to this channel if you have not subscribed. And I'll chop it up with you guys this Monday. Papi Akute and Lola Vuve to the family. Y'all be good.